In his first news conference since becoming president-elect, Donald Trump today blasted news outlets for reporting on unverified intelligence, and he accused U.S. intelligence agencies of leaking the unsubstantiated reports that his campaign colluded with Russia and that Russia has compromising information about him.
I think it was disgraceful that the intelligence agencies allowed any information that turned out to be so false and fake out. I think it's a disgrace. And I say that. And that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and did do.
So that was today. Last night, it was President Obama who had the stage as he gave his farewell speech, asking Americans to hold tight to values that have built the country.
That creed, reaffirmed by those who planted flags from foreign battlefields to the surface of the moon. A creed at the core of every American whose story is not yet written. Yes, we can. Yes, we did. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Yes, we did. Let's spend a few minutes on this moment that NPR politics editor Domenico Montanaro would characterize as... Actually, Domenico, how would you characterize this moment?
Moment in American history. It's kind of interesting for me. I was struck listening to Bob Corker, the foreign relations chairman, the Republican from Tennessee, this morning during his opening remarks with Rex Tillerson, who is Trump's Secretary of State nominee, when he said, how do we make sense for the world, for Americans? Can't you see how confusing it is for people that we went from George W. Bush to Barack Obama, and now to Donald Trump? You know, the foreign policy of the country, the domestic policy of the country, it's been so reactionary one way or the other. It's really been whiplash for the last decade or so.
Well, let's get to Trump's press conference today, which was very unusual. There was applause at times, which you don't usually see in a press conference because it's usually just reporters in the room. But in this case at Trump Tower, I guess that was not the case. But of course, the big question that a lot of reporters were asking had to do with this new report involving Trump and Russia and whether Russia had compromising information about Trump. Let's listen.
I tell this to people all the time. I was in Russia years ago with the Miss Universe contest, which did very well. Moscow, the Moscow area, did very, very well. And I told many people, be careful because you don't want to see yourself on television. Cameras all over the place. And again, not just Russia, all over. Does anyone really believe that story? I'm also very much of a germaphobe, by the way. Believe me.
Domenico, has he put any questions to rest here with this news conference today?
Well, look, first, I think we should say about this report that none of this has been substantiated or verified. Most of it seems to have come from Oppo researchers, not saying that that information from Oppo researchers
isn't
sometimes
opposition
researchers within campaigns, that sometimes that information is correct. But, you know, news organizations have had some of this dossier for months and have been trying to substantiate it and have come up empty. So at this point, I think it would be irresponsible to talk about the details of it, although Trump makes it somewhat difficult when he alludes to some of the lewd details within that report, talking about how he's a germaphobe. But, you know, I think that this gives him a heat shield because what others had reported yesterday on ties potentially to Russia and whether or not there's an FBI investigation. This now gives Trump and his team a chance to be able to whack the media and say that it's irresponsible, it's disgraceful. You shouldn't look at this discredited report. It's fake news. Whereas there are still some open questions, given we haven't seen Donald Trump's tax returns, what his financial liabilities, if any. He says there aren't, and he says that no one from his campaign had any connection with anyone in Russia before the election.
Well, look, there's also the question of how this came to the media. I mean, this was, as he said, this was leaked from somewhere. I mean, it's been around for months. There are journalists who have, for weeks at least, been trying to get to the bottom of this. It's been out in that way. But also it leaked out that this was what intelligence officials talked to Donald Trump about on Friday. Then it becomes news. And you have, you know, CNN reporting on it and then BuzzFeed producing some of the documents. Now, today, you mentioned the media. He did. One of his favorite targets. He savaged, Donald Trump did, BuzzFeed for publishing the entire 35-page dossier, which it acknowledged it couldn't verify. And he had this exchange with Jim Acosta of CNN.
Mr. President-elect, since you are attacking our news organization, can you give us a chance?
Your organization.
You are attacking our news organization. Can you give us a chance to ask a question, sir?
Go ahead.
Sir, can you state, Mr. President-elect, can you state categorically,
she's asking a question.
Mr. President-elect, can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
You're attacking us. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you give us a question?
I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you stay categorical?
You are fake news.
Sir,
go ahead.
Can you stay categorical?
Domenico, we're going to take this up elsewhere in the program, the news angle here, the print and press angle here. But what is this? What did this whole press conference today tell you about what this administration is going to be like?
Well, certainly there's potential for it to be somewhat combative, like a moment like that. Trump tried to play somewhat of a good cop, bad cop thing early on, where you had his incoming White House press secretary, Sean Spicer, and Vice President-elect Mike Pence thwack the media somewhat to say that this was disgraceful, you shouldn't do this. And then you had Trump come out and say that actually the media has gotten a notch up from some organizations. I think he was specifically talking about the New York Times, as he alluded to later, that they didn't run with this information. He's mad at CNN. He's mad at BuzzFeed. CNN did not publish the full report in the way BuzzFeed did. CNN had different kind of reporting. And Trump, again, like I said, trying to use this heat shield. I think the bigger story is Donald Trump's relationship with the intelligence community.
Mm-hmm.
He is upset over leaks. He's furious over these leaks that are coming out. Barack Obama has been upset about any kinds of leaks. But when you continuously say that the people in the intelligence community aren't doing their jobs well and you call them intelligence in quotes, you're going to get some people within that community upset. And in the way that the Pentagon in some ways boxed in Barack Obama early on with the number of troops he could have in Afghanistan, you may be seeing some of that kind of power play happening with the intelligence community and Donald Trump.
Domenico, President-elect Trump did make a little bit of news during his news conference. He said that he has tapped David Shulkin, who is currently serving in the VA in the Obama administration, to lead the Department of Veterans Affairs. He also talked a little bit about Obamacare and said that he wanted to see a repeal and replace happen at the same time. And we know we've been talking about the fact that there are some senators, Republican senators, who agree with that sentiment. But before we let you go, we have to talk about what happened last night with President Obama, his farewell address in Chicago. Let's take a listen here. He didn't sound like a man who's leaving the stage altogether.
In 10 days, the world will witness a hallmark of our democracy. No. The peaceful transfer of power from one freely elected president to the next. I committed to President-elect Trump that my administration would ensure the smoothest possible transition, just as President Bush did for me.
What did you make of that speech last night?
You know, I thought it was a broad-ranging, big-picture speech that Barack Obama tried to put his presidency into the patchwork of the United States through its history. He also tried to bring in a sense of inclusivity to put it within an updated sort of tableau of Americana, you know, to include things like Selma and Stonewall, in addition to, Omaha Beach. He brought in Iraq and Afghanistan veterans as well. So he tried to update the picture of America, and that very much is in line with Barack Obama's idea that, you know, the moral arc of the universe bends toward justice. You know,
nope.
This is something that has been a hallmark of his presidency.
Well, but in places it was stirring. In places it was poignant for his followers, of course, his backers. But it also was perplexing for some who said, "Why didn't we hear some of this on the campaign trail from Democrats?" President Obama came back over and over again to the fact that everyone has to work to deal with the country's divisions and acknowledge the economic pain of middle-class white men. Listen.
For white Americans, it means acknowledging that the effects of slavery and Jim Crow didn't suddenly vanish in the 60s. That when minority groups voice discontent, they're not just engaging in reverse racism or practicing political correctness. When they wage peaceful protests, they're not demanding special treatment. but the equal treatment that our founders promised.
When he went on to say, I mean, what we don't have here, but what he went on to say is, and people have to recognize the white men who feel as if the rug's been pulled out from under them economically, and you know, their long-held businesses have moved on. So he was asking minorities and the black community to acknowledge that as well. And people said, why didn't we hear that?
You know, I think Barack Obama has spent a long time speaking in that way. I mean, his race speech in Philadelphia was one of the more nuanced race speeches ever given. It had been black or white previous to that. He talked about Irish, Poles, Italians, immigrant communities who don't really feel the same kind of responsibility for what's happened in minority communities over centuries. And he really tried to hit on that once again. I do think that there's an implicit criticism that he has been making of Democrats and Hillary Clinton's campaign for not being present and going to places like Michigan and Wisconsin as much as they could have to maintain some of those lunch pail Democrats that had been such a key pillar of the Democratic Party for decades. Yeah.
Domenico Montanaro, lead politics editor at NPR. Domenico, thank you.
Thank you, as always.